I recently had an opportunity to go with one of my friends to visit his great uncle, who is 96 years old, lives in a convalescence home out in Davison. And he got to talking about the good old days on the farm. And this was back in the day, you know, when he didn't have a tractor. He plowed with a mule and a plow. And he got talking about that. He got talking about his dog and his horse. And he just went on and on and on. You know how sometimes folks that are up in years like that, they get to talking about their boyhood days, their days when they were young men. And he just went on and on and on talking about the good old days. And we got ready to go, and he looked at his nephew. He says, "You know, sometimes I wish the good old days would come back. I just wish they'd come back." That's what Jeremiah was saying, if you caught it, in verse 21 of chapter 5 of Lamentations, when he said, "Renew our days as of old." Renew our days as of old. Jeremiah started preaching, the Bible says, the 13th year of Josiah. Josiah was a goodly king, and he led the nation of Israel in a time of revival. They got rid of all the idols. They threw out all the Sodomites. They repaired the temple. They started reading the Word of God, and they started worshiping God like God had instructed them to do. They observed the Passover. I mean, they did everything that God had told them to do by way of worshiping Him. And that's how Jeremiah started out. As he writes the book of Lamentations, it's now 35 years later. The nation is in exile. The temple has been destroyed. God's people have been scattered. And he has become the weeping prophet. He just weeps and weeps because of the condition of the nation of Israel. And he writes there in verse 21, "Lord, I just wish you'd bring back the good old days. I wish you'd renew the days of old. I wish we could go back to when the temple was standing and people came to the temple and our hearts were turned towards you and we didn't worship idols. I wish we could go back to the days where we had respect to your law and we kept the law as best as we could. I wish we could go back to the days when we saw your blessings upon us and we knew that you were in our midst." And so this morning I preach on the subject, bring back the good old days. Bring back the good old days. Now, before I start, let me say there's some things about the good old days that can stay in the good old past. Amen? Amen. I'm not for bringing back outhouses. I like indoor plumbing. Okay? I can remember when we first got married, I went with my wife down to visit her great aunt who lived out in the sticks. And they had an outhouse. And it was my first experience with those kind of facilities. And just like I had heard from my grandparents, she had a Sears catalog out in the outhouse. I don't know about you, but I don't care what kind it is, Charmin or Angel Soft or any of that, they all beat the Sears catalog. And I am not for bringing back outhouses. Nor am I for bringing back the worst tub on Saturday night. I mean, I've heard stories where dad took a bath, mom took a bath, and then the kids, one, two, all in the same tub, all in the same water. Just wonder if kid number 10 got dirtier or cleaner as he bathed in that water. But I like a good shower every day, sometimes twice a day. And so I'm not for bringing back the wash tub on Saturday night. That part of the good old days can stay in the past. I'm not even for bringing back the wood stove or the fans in place of heat and air conditioning. I like being able to go to a thermostat, turn the heat up when it gets cold, turn the air conditioning on when it gets hot. And so I'm content with the furnaces that we have and the air conditioning that we have. And then one more thing. I was reading this week. Do you know the greatest source of pollution before cars? Horses. That's right, horses. I'm not for bringing back the buggies. I'd rather deal with the pollution that comes out of the tailpipe than came out of the other part of the horse. So I'm not for bringing back the horses and buggies. I just soon keep cars. And so those things that were in the good old days can stay in the good old days. But there are some things that I think we should bring back from the good old days and reinstate in our day. And I have several that I want to mention. Number one, I think we should bring back old-fashioned decency. I think we need to bring back to our society, to our world today, old-fashioned decency. There are things happening today that 60 years ago we did not put up with. And see, and here's what's happened. Even the church has changed. Yeah, you know, Daryl, come up here and help me since you're right here on the first row. You go right over there. You're going to represent the world today, okay? So Brother Daryl's representing the world. I'm representing the church, okay? This direction is good. That direction is bad. Here's what's happened over the past the 60 years that I've been alive. The world is moving in that direction. So, Brother Daryl, just move in that direction a little bit. It's getting more wicked and more wicked. Now, here's what the church has done. Instead of staying right where it was, instead of being firmly planted on the rock and not moving, what the church has done has kept its distance from the world. Okay? The gap that existed between the church and the world is the same. But as the world keeps moving in that direction, the church keeps the gap the same. And here's what happened. We are standing right now as a church where the world was 60 years ago. We are more toward wickedness than we were 60 years ago. And what we should have done is kept our feet planted right where we were on the Word of God with the standards from the Word of God and let the world get more and more wicked, but us not move. Brother Daryl, thank you. You come back and sit down. And so there are some things that we need to bring back. Old-fashioned decency is one of them. We need to bring back the days where babies were born and not murdered. We need to bring back the days of Ozzie and Harriet, Father Knows Best, and Leave It to Beaver, where the mass media reflected the values of society as opposed to today, where they are trying to set the values for society. And I don't watch much, if any of it, but if you watch the shows today that portray families, they are painting a picture of families that are not in accordance with the Word of God. And they are portraying them as normal, and they are not normal. They are abnormal. And so I say, let's bring back the days where a family was a dad and a mom that were married and then had kids. Let's bring back those days. Let's bring back the days that where men look like men and ladies look like ladies. This unisex thing is for the birds. When I look at somebody, I would like to know what they are. And in many situations today, you cannot. And so let's bring back the days where men look like men and ladies look like ladies. Let's bring back the days, amen. Let's bring back the days, and I know, I don't want to, and by the way, I know when I preach a sermon like this, sooner or later, I'm going to make everybody mad. So just go ahead and get mad at me, get it over with, and we'll go on. But that's old-fashioned decency. Let's bring back the days where the queers were still in the closet, where the homosexuals were still in the closet and didn't march up and down the streets and didn't demand special rights. Let's bring back those days. Let's bring back the days where moms and dads waited till they got married to have children. Let's bring back the days where on Sunday, the only thing that was open was the church house. You couldn't go to the mall. You couldn't go to probably one mall back in those days. But you couldn't go to the store. You couldn't go to the theater. You couldn't go and buy a lottery ticket because there was nothing open on Sunday except for the church house. Let's bring back the days where people wore clothes and didn't routinely show parts of their body that God reserved for only their spouse to see. And let's bring back the days where we sat on the porch and talked to our neighbors instead of getting into all sort of wickedness on the internet. Let's bring back the days of old-fashioned decency. Number two, let's bring back the days of old-fashioned character. Let's bring back the days that a person's word was good. That when they told you they would do something, it was going to be done. When they made you a promise, that promise was kept. Let's bring back the days when a man and woman said, "I do," at the marriage altar. They meant it until death do us part. Not up until the time when things get tough. Let's bring back the days when a person took a job, they gave a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. Let's bring back the days where people worked instead of getting paid for doing nothing. And let's bring back the days where parents disciplined their children, taught them right from wrong, punished them when they did wrong, and every child knew that if they broke mom and dad's rule, they were going to get it. You know, when I went to high school, there were things that went on. I mean, you know, there was people sold marijuana. I never bought any, just so you know. But that was going on. But you know, when I went to high school, I did not have to worry about going to high school and getting shot. Like kids do today. And it's not a problem with the school system. I mean, there's a problem with the school system. A lot of things that should be changed there. The problem is in the homes, where parents do not discipline their children like they used to. I've told you before, my dad had an old razor strop. Some of you kids don't know what that is. A razor strop was that, it was a leather belt that hung by the barber's seat. And when they used straight edge razors to shave people, he would sharpen it on that belt. And my dad had one of those things, and that was his paddle. And I can still remember him just rearing back, getting ready to swing that thing and applying corporal punishment. I probably got it more than you would think I got it. But that's probably why I'm in the shape that I'm in today, because I had a dad. My mom never swung it, but she was always quick to tell my dad. And I got it when he got home. Let's bring back the good old days where parents disciplined their kids and taught them right from wrong, and the children knew that they were going to get it if they broke mom and dad's rules. Number three, let's bring back the good old days. Let's bring back the old-fashioned praise for God. You know, we are too reserved in our praise. And one of the reasons I think we're too reserved in our praise, we've lost some of our awe for God. We've lost some of the awe for our salvation. We've lost some of the awe for what God has done for us. And we need to bring back the days where we remind ourselves how good God is and remind ourselves of all the good things that he has done for us. And as that wells in up in us, we need to go back to the days where we praise God unreservedly and are just as excited about the things of God as we are about the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, I just flipped through the channels and I watched some of these people in the stands. They're crazy. I mean, somebody scores a basket and they get up. Aah! And yet, and I've seen the same thing. I mean, I've seen it at hockey games. I've seen it at baseball games. We get all excited about a sports event, and then we come to church, and we talk about the goodness of God, and we're all like church mice. Well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. What's wrong with getting excited about the things of God? What's wrong with losing our reserve and just letting who... Look, when you're at a sports event and your team scores a touchdown or scores a goal or makes a basket, you stand up and rejoice and you don't care who sees you. I mean, I've seen these people go to football games in the middle of the winter and they paint their skin blue and they don't have any clothes on. And they don't care who sees them. I mean, they get excited about their team. Well, why can't we just get as excited about our God? Why can't we get as excited about what he's done for us? Look, we were lost sinners on our way to hell. And Jesus came and paid the price. And he saved me. And I'm on my way to heaven this morning. I'll tell you what, I can get excited about that. I can say, amen, praise the Lord. Because I know where I'm headed. Let's bring back the good old days where our praise rang out. I remember going to church, and I can remember our preacher, an old-fashioned leather lung preacher. And I can remember just about everything he said. There was two or three men that with a loud voice says, amen, amen, amen. Okay. Of course, I remember there also, you know, like there is in every church, there were some guys that fell asleep while he was preaching. I can remember my brother and I, and of course the little kids are out of here now because I don't want to give them any ideas. We would crawl underneath the pews and tie their shoes together. That's what happened when you fell asleep. I couldn't understand why they fell asleep with all the amen and that was going on anyway. But let's bring back the good old days where our praise to God was unreserved. Number four, let's bring back the good old days when old-fashioned preachers preached an old-fashioned gospel. We live in a day today where we have too many clergy. We have too many reverends. We have too many preachers with letters after their name that has affected how they preach. There's not enough preachers with fire in their souls. A preacher is a proclaimer, a heralder, one that shouts out the good news, one that shouts out the warning. I was thinking last night, I'm reading a book about Paul Revere, and he was a heralder. He went throughout the city crying out, the British are coming, the British are coming. And he shouted out the warning. He shouted, hey, it's time to get up. It's time to fight. The battle is approaching. The war is near. Get up. And as a preacher, we need to be a proclaimer. We need to be a heralder. We need to bring back the preachers that believe this book is the word of God, word for word. We don't need preachers to debate if this is the word of God. We don't need preachers to say, well, it contains the word of God. We need preachers to hold it up and say, this is the word of God. Word for word, jot and tittle. Everything's in here because God wants it to be. We need preachers that call sin, sin. We don't need to dress it up. We don't need to call it by different names. We need to call it exactly what God called it. And we need to make sure that people know that sin in God's sight is wicked and that there is a penalty for sin. Big controversy going around, even in the Baptist circles. Somebody's wrote a book. Baptist preacher wrote a book. Came out and said, there's not a hell. There's not a hell. God is such a loving God that he would never make a place called hell and never make a place of eternal punishment. Now, I don't know what Bible that preacher's reading, but it's not the same one that I'm reading. Because my Bible tells me that there is a hell. My Bible tells me that there is a place, a fire, a bottomless pit where the worm dieth not that was made for Satan and all his demons. And it tells me that every single person that rejects Jesus Christ, every single person who is a sinner, is going to end up in that place called hell. Now, we can, you know, people can try to take it out of the Bible. People can try to, you know, write books and say that it doesn't exist. But on Judgment Day, they and those that believe them are going to see how wrong they were. I want to tell you this something this morning. there is sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Being apart from God. And if you die in your sin, if you die without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are headed toward a burning hell, and you will be there forever and ever and ever and ever. We need to bring back the good old days. We need to bring back the days, and we need to bring back the preachers that remind us that God loves us. God loves us. Now just stop and think about that for a second. Just stop and think about it. The God who spoke everything we see into existence. The God who holds it together. The God who made everything that we see. The almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient, the ever-present, omnipresent God loves you and loves me. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't want to ever get over it. I don't want to ever lose the awe that the Creator God, the Sustainer God, loves me and loves you. And He loved us so much that while we were sinners, He sent His Son to die in our place. When Jesus went to the cross, He had no sin. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And He allowed us to mankind to take Him and nail Him to the cross. And as He was hanging on the cross, the Bible says that God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and placed them on His Son. And while on the cross, He paid the price for every one of our sins. Every one. There's not a sin. You say, preacher, I've longer to live, and there's some sins that I'll probably commit in the future. Hey, when Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were in the future. Every single one of them. And He paid for every single one. God loves us. And He says, if you'll come and receive my Son, if you'll trust what He did on Calvary to pay for your sins, I'll save you. I'll save you from your sins. I'll save you from that penalty for sin, dying and going to hell and being apart from me. I'll save you from that. And I'll give you a home in heaven. A home in heaven. If you'll trust Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you're trusting anything besides Jesus Christ, look, don't trust the church. I think going to church is a good thing, but your church will not get you to heaven. We're going to baptize in just a second. I think it's a good thing to get baptized, but don't trust your baptism, because baptism has nothing to do with getting into heaven. Don't trust. We're going to have the Lord's Supper next week, but it's not communion that gets us into heaven. It's not living a good life that gets us into heaven. It's not our parents that get us into heaven. It's Jesus. Amen. And only Jesus that gets us into heaven. Nothing else. Nothing else. Let's bring back the days where across this country and across the world, there were old-fashioned preachers that stood and preached an old-fashioned gospel and told people that they were sinners and the only hope they had was in Jesus Christ. And then number five, let's bring back the days where old-fashioned sinners came to an old-fashioned altar and got saved. You know, there are churches this morning, some of them won't preach the gospel, but there's others that will preach the gospel, but they won't give an invitation. This friend that I was talking to, that I went to visit his uncle, He says his preacher preaches the gospel sometimes, but he says he never gives an invitation. I said, well, how do people get saved? I mean, if you preach the gospel, why not give them an opportunity to come and act on what they've heard? He says, I don't know. And I won't tell you what I told him. That's just between him and me. But I told him he needed to find a new church. But listen, let's bring back the days that when the old-fashioned gospel was preached and there were sinners sitting in the pews, they came and they asked Jesus to save them. Let's do that today. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to save you, there's never been a time in your life where you told him, I'm a sinner and I understand there's a penalty for that sin. And right now, I can't depend on anything else but you. Jesus, I want you to save me. Save me right now. If you'll do that this morning, you can do it right where you're sat. If you'll do that this morning, he will save you from your sin. He'll save you from the penalty of your sin. He will give you a home in heaven. And again, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm just asking you to get into the family of God. I'm asking you to escape hell. I'm asking you to get into heaven. And the only way you can do that is come to Jesus Christ. He wants you to come. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants every person here that doesn't know Jesus to get to know him this morning and to trust him. Would you do that? Would you trust him? And if you're a Christian, would you just remember what Jesus has done for you? And would you rejoice that you have such a wonderful, loving Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that it's available to every single person. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that in right where they said in the next few seconds, they would say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me. And I pray, Father, if they did that, that in just a second as we sing this invitation song, they would come forward. Father, I pray if they want to do it but still don't understand how, they would come forward and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. Father, if we've lost the joy of our salvation, give it back to us. Give it back to us. Renew our days as of old. Help us to bring back those things that were good. Bless this time, Father. We give it to you. Ask you to use it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.